You know, I think it was Friday that we were going to talk about State Street, and we had the big storm come through, and we had to bump the segment, which Max Grinnell is going to join us. It was going to be a fun sort of look at the news of that week. Just last week, the Chicago Loop Alliance announced they were producing a State Street corridor plan to be released in the fall of 2020. This would be the first of its kind since 1987. This prompted many in the media, including a Sun Times editorial about the past remakes of this great street, seeing as this right now is a golden opportunity in time for Chicagoans to get it right, to make a viable downtown destination that would attract both Chicagoans and tourists alike, and not to repeat the trappings of the past. Can you say pedestrian mall? Max Grinnell is an urbanologist, a writer, a public speaker who's written three books about Chicago. He's working on a big piece about State Street, that great street, for later publication. He joins us now. Max, thanks for joining us, bud.
Justin, so glad to be here. I just want to say Blues Brothers. I forgot about this movie. I'm just going to drop that in there. It's just like a whole, just like we just put out a whole bunch of ideas. So let me just say Blues Brothers.
Blues Brothers, you got it, man. I'll put you on the list.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. You know, it's interesting, and one of the things I talked about for this piece, which probably have to go through some edits, thanks to the folks, as always, for the reader, for being around 40 years, supporting Chicago independent journalism. It's something I've done with my students, because I've taught urban design and urban studies for the past 15 years, is I take my students down to State Street, and, you know, they're not professionally trained planners, and I think that's kind of part of what makes that exciting. And I asked them in some of the quotes that I've gotten over the last few years, and these are, you know, mostly traditional age college students. Kind of some of the things they've said over the years are, I don't ever plan anything there. Occasionally I picked up things at Target when I've been in the Loop. Another student said, people like to eat. Why can't you buy food right off the street like you can in New York? Mm-hmm. And I think telling for a lot of people is, it seems like there should be more going on there. Which, you know, if you think about State Street's dominance, I mean, Potter Palmer was, you know, the man, the legend, you know, part hotelier, part dry goods merchants. When he purchased a large chunk of State Street starting in the middle of the second half of the 19th century, he moved Chicago's main retail corridor from Lake to State Street, and unsurpassed for decades until the emergence of, you know, outlying corridors like 63rd and Halsted, after the construction of the Michigan Avenue Bridge, what we now know as the Mag Mile. Thank you, Arthur Rubloff, whose name is on many things around the city. And that's that question. And of course, if you look at, you know, plans and something I've done a lot about, the Chicago Loop Alliance's predecessor organization, their files are all Greater State Street Council. Their files are all at Harold Washington Library Center. So I encourage folks right on State Street to go do your own research and kind of check out some of those aspects of Chicago history. Is, to your point in the introduction, so many different plans to deal with different situations on the street and the Loop more generally. What's next for this big corridor? And I think it's going to be a real challenge. And of course, kind of the big, I hate to use the phrase game changer, but of course is people doing everything on their phones and the disappearance of large department
stores. Well, Max,
stores.
Let me ask you that, because it's the department stores that people will know State Street, whether it was Carson's or Macy or, you know, Marshall Fields and all those that were, that were down that way. It was in the, I guess it was the 80s, 1979 and 1980s, where they went to a pedestrian mall to try and mimic.
I remember.
Yeah, they're trying to mimic what a suburban experience was like. That was what they talked about at the time. A horrible mistake where people just kind of in droves avoided State Street. When we start thinking about outside the box and trying things new and trying to keep up with the Joneses or who might be doing things around us, do we have to look back at that and say, you know, remember what happened in the 80s on State Street?
I think you still have people beating that drum. And I think they're right to say, as someone who, you know, got to Chicago for college in 94 and stuck around, you know, I remember those tail end of that. And one thing I think that we can take from that, and again, in the piece, I position it as, let's let's forget about the regulatory and kind of design guidelines and say if we could wave a benevolent planning design wand for the area, is that kind of return of food. And I remember vividly, you know, someone new to Chicago thinking, wow, I can buy a hot dog or a pretzel on State Street. Were they, you know, grade A level hot dogs and such? No, but obviously, you know, we could do that.
That's a good idea.
Going forward. And you think about, you know, you think about the existing, and of course the regulatory reason now is that you can't have food vendors, mobile food vendors within 200 feet of bricks and mortar. So of course, even though the current culinary landscape of State Street proper, you know, see you later, Wabash, adjoining streets, is, you know, there's a Subway and a handful of other places
near the
street. I guess I'm not counting, you know, the food court, Latinicity, and Block 37, but people like to have that. That's something they experience in other parts of the world. I mean, the pedestrian mall experience, has definitely been kind of a mixed bag. Probably the most successful one in the United States that still exists is State Street in Madison, Lincoln Road in Miami. But generally they've been torn out. But I think there is a lesson there about putting food back in there. And that's when one of the conversations going on during Mayor Lightfoot's time is thinking about how to tweak that, along with other things her transition team has been working on regarding other aspects, public health, you name it, the rideshare fees. Looking into that and kind of saying, like, people like to be close. You know, there's some basic elements about a great public space. Food, water in motion, a variety of kind of exciting programmatic events. And looking through that archive, Harold Washington, you see, you know, whether it's bond rallies, whether it's, and sometimes this, you know, makes people think of the pedestrian mall days, is maybe can we think about closing down State Street for really special events, which is, you know, it's, you know, people saw the pushback against the bike lane situation on Dearborn, but you know, you work with, you know, Illinois Department of Transportation, you work with the hotels on the street. And I think we're in an exciting time to think about a different and improved State Street.
Yeah, Max, let me take a quick break here. We'll come back. Urbanologist, writer, public speaker, has written 3 books about Chicago. We're talking about the development or redevelopment of State Street, as the Chicago Loop Alliance says they're going to put a plan for the State Street corridor forward this year. Max Grinnell on the line. We'll take a quick break. Come back, so stay with us. WGN Radio, Max Grinnell is with me. He's an urbanologist. We're talking about redevelopment on State Street, which the Chicago Loop Alliance came out and said they were going to have a plan for 2020, the first one since 1987. When we talk about State Street, Max, it used to be, and obviously we know the Sinatra song and everything about that, this used to be the place that everybody knew to be the epicenter, the center of Chicago. When you're redeveloping State Street, are they thinking that big, or do they have to kind of get that out of their mind, that the commerce and the center of the city has shifted and that they need to do something different?
I think you really have to think about doing something radically different. You know, the conversation about how people, and myself included, even though I try to stay, you know, give myself breaks, the experience of being close to and in around a phone, any, you know, figure out your favorite device, is kind of, you know, basically reduced to a kind of a collective type of ADHD. Right. And that's why you see, you know, places like Navy Pier, you know, putting in like that ball pit and just kind of rotating quickly through these spaces. I think there are some trends that you can find from other cities around the world. And I mentioned the kind of idea about activating those spaces with mobile food trucks, which is pretty common, right? If you go to other parts of the city, you know, maybe you're in Pilsen, maybe you're in Little Village, you know, you see more of this on a regular basis. And also thinking about temporary closures of the street for special events. If listeners have been to the night market up on Argyle Street, you know, that's one of those kind of things that's come over to us from Asia and other parts of the world, is thinking about We do a temporary closure of a space. We bring in local vendors. And also, I like to think about it as kind of the mayor and the folks in Department of Planning and Development have made a push for, you know, extending grants and other programs to businesses and corridors in the South and West Side. Great idea for those neighborhoods, but also, let's face it, where do most tourists and visitors out of the 52, 53 million people a year, they come to the Loop. They come to those areas. So that's where they're spending money. Max, why don't we increase that aspect to have the small businesses in the form of food up there?
Are the days of city planning and urban planning, are the days of the anchor store or the anchor business, are they gone? Do we need, remember, because State Street was Sears. They had that Sears down there they tried to do.
They tried to bring Sears twice back in the last 40 years. And I think those anchor stores, you know, you think of the placement of everyone's, you know, what's au courant in terms of household stuff, even though I still can't put it together all the time. IKEA, right? There's no Loop IKEA.
Right.
You know, you have to go far afield to find it. I think looking for that, you know, chasing that around, and as much as I miss Marshall Field, I think chasing those large anchors, you're seeing them being broken up. I mean, I think of, talk about, you know, formerly the world's largest building, the Merchandise Mart, right? Formerly, you know, all kinds of fashion, design, housewares, hard, you know, other household items. Of course, they still have those, but this past holiday season, I think one or two entire floors, you paid $10 and had access to small craft vendors. I think that's what we're looking at, is breaking above those large monolithic buildings into smaller constituent pieces. And that makes that's why State Street's been a real challenge. And I think the Loop Alliance and other folks have had better luck on Wabash, because you think of more of those 4, 5, 6-story buildings, same time period as a lot of stuff on State Street, but a little bit smaller spaces to break up.
What about like an entertainment district? When you think about, as your students mentioned, about restaurants, you got stuff on the actual street, but bringing in more of what you see possibly in the West Loop or the South Loop, where there are so many different restaurants and venues that have moved into that area. Does State Street have any place for that kind of thing?
You know, once upon a time, and you think of kind of the success I see over there, and of course, famously, you know, I remember 25 years ago when they started the branding of the theater district, right, which was those old massive movie palaces that if you talk to people about what now the Nederlander, former of the Oriental, you know, that was Kung Fu and blaxploitation movies. So to now go there and see, I don't know, Mean Girls for $80 or something,
more than
you know, my students, are more than that, right? That might be a discount ticket. My students aren't really interested in that. That's kind of a more well-heeled visitor. But I think you think about doing, you know, that entertainment district in the form of informal pop-up rotating experiences. Folks may have seen this, so south of the Loop proper on State Street in the Second Lighter building, which is owned by Robert Morris College. They're doing some performances, you know, a few times, I think a quarter, right in that storefront. Okay. I think that's exciting, and I think, you know, kudos to whoever at Robert Morris came up with that idea, but why not bring them right on the street? You know, I mean, I think we've seen, and we're all familiar with the kind of pushback, right? There's been, you know, a few aldermen still with us and a couple who have passed away who don't like people performing music. And all I can say to that is, well, you know what? It's a city. It's loud. People like music.
Yeah.
They may object to certain types of performances, but I think you're going to see they want a great street gives people an opportunity for serendipitous encounters. It could be music. It could be food. It could be one idea I pitched out in the reader piece was, why don't we have a parade of paper mache versions of the buildings that are on State Street? Here comes the Reliance. Here comes Macy's. Why don't we march everyone down to Pritzker Park, which is another one of those anchor spaces. I mean, it's the largest green public space in the Loop. Apologies, Millennium Park. Apologies, Grant Park. And, of course, as we know, that L-shaped parcel needs a lot more love. And I'm sure that they're looking at that because, and also for folks, some folks may know this already, it was the last site of the last single residency occupancy hotel in the Loop, Rialto.
Oh, right.
It was demolished. And they put in Pritzker Park. And I think Cindy Pritzker has been such a great advocate for the library, for the architectural prize. We can do better. by her name, by thinking specifically about how to activate that park with performances, with food. You know, usually you go by there, what, the last few times I was there last week, you know, it's cold, but the only people out there was, you know, some cops and a police cruiser.
Yeah.
So, and it's tough. You know, it's got the hard surface. You step up. It's got some green landscaping. Maybe people remember that's where they had the large decorative eyeball for a while.
Right, a few years ago.
You know, certainly caught people's, I was going to say caught people's eye, caught people's attention.
Yeah, it did. But
you know, coming back and doing different things.
Public art.
Yeah. I think there's some options. And Chicago has such a great track record of dynamic mural sculptures, performances. I believe that will be a successful park.
Well, Max,
part of that, yeah. I'm just kidding, Pritzker Park, right?
Well, no doubt we got to continue this conversation because I think it'd be fun to reimagine such an iconic street. Max Grinnell, urbanologist, writer, and public speaker who has written 3 books about Chicago, and he's working on a piece that's going to be in the Reader, State Street, that great street, coming up here. Max, great to have you. Thanks for joining us tonight. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Justin. Be well.